Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Former California Governor Jerry Brown talked publicly yesterday about the coronavirus pandemic. He was part of a virtual event with the Los Angeles World Affairs Council and Writer's Block. He was in conversation with Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Jim Newton. And Mr. Newton asked him, how do you balance the imperatives right now in this pandemic? Jerry Brown said, look at Taiwan.
They took action as soon as they perceived and listened to what China was saying. So China sent out a message, I think, in just right around at the beginning of this year, 2020. Taiwan heard it. Mr. Trump and people in Washington didn't hear it. So what Taiwan did is they jumped on it. They started testing, and they traced the people who tested positive, and they quarantined them. And that quarantine away from families in their own separate spot, that really dampened the spread in a very dramatic way. Okay, we didn't do this. We had denial, delay, obfuscation. In fact, I think the best description of the way the current president handled things would be to take his description of what China has done and just plug in the word Trump every time Trump says China. And you then have what we did, and it's not a pretty picture. But here we are. So what do? You test, you trace, and you isolate.
And so there is our message, our teaching from Governor Jerry Brown about the point that we are at in this pandemic. Taiwan, by the way, has 23 million people. Of course, it is geographically close to China, but it has had fewer than 500 confirmed COVID-19 cases and only 7 deaths. Joining us by phone now is Jim Newton. His new biography of the former governor was released this week. It is titled Man of Tomorrow, The Relentless Life of Jerry Brown. And Mr. Newton, I guess Professor Newton, because you're also a professor at UCLA, but thanks so much for joining us on Insight.
Well, fine. Thank you very much. Although Jim is just fine. Thank you.
So this conversation yesterday was an opportunity for us to hear from Jerry Brown about this COVID-19 time. What's your sense of how it's pressing on him as a person and a recent leader of California?
Well, I think as a person, he's weathering it quite well. He lives up in Colusa County, which has been barely touched by this. He and his wife are up there. They've been social distancing and taking good care of themselves. He's 80 years old, of course, and so he needs to be mindful of his health, although he's in very good health. So I think personally he's weathering it just fine. In terms of as a former governor, I mean, I think that the clip that you just played describes his feelings quite well, at least as I understand them, which is that he's, like many people, just enormously frustrated by the lack of leadership and by the really poor leadership from Washington and from President Trump on this. So I think it frustrates him to see something of such importance handled so badly.
He's in the group that is advising Governor Newsom, but he was self-effacing about saying, it's a group of 100 people. He doesn't need any more advice from me.
Well, I think he's made it a point to restrict any advice he has for Governor Newsom to do so in private, that he feels that, as he said yesterday, that Schwarzenegger never tried to advise him publicly, and I think he's committed to doing the same with Newsom. How much Newsom is turning to him for guidance, I actually don't know. But I think whatever advice he has, he would share with him in private.
He is clearly highly informed, Jim, in the science and response at all levels, global, national, and statewide, and really focused and astute about testing. He did say the testing problem in the country goes back to the president and these people he called his enablers. But it seems that he's forward-looking in that we're on our way now, and if we're smart about it, we're going to get through it okay. That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Listen, Jerry Brown's a funny, I mean, there's a million things to talk about with respect to Jerry Brown. Of course, that's why I spent the last 5 years working on it. But he's an interesting combination of very skeptical and probing and inquiring, but also, as he said yesterday, exuberant and positive. So I don't think he's likely to get ground down by this. I think that, he's spent the last decade plus being very focused on climate change, which, although a very different issue than the virus, has some parallels in the sense that it is a scientifically driven debate, that it can cause many people to be very anguished at the prospects. And yet there is a need to move forward and to be positive and to take steps. And so I think that experience probably has prepared him well for grasping the enormity and also finding the potential for progress in the combating the virus.
In fact, on that point of looking forward, we are going to listen to a bit more of what he said yesterday, because he was asked about this by you. And of course, that's on everybody's mind. What's next?
There's no conflict between an energetic, creative testing program with tracing and quarantining and open the economy. The longer you wait, the harder it is, the more people who get sick, suffer, and die. That's where we are. And we can't just look backwards. We got to look forward.
In fact, he was telling you that we need a Rooseveltian moment. That's what he called it, right?
He did, yes, indeed. A couple of times, yeah.
Yeah, following the great spirit of being bold and persistent and using experimentation. So many people wonder, Jim, how would we be navigating in California this pandemic right now if the governor was Jerry Brown? What do you think?
Well, I think, I think Jerry Brown probably wonders that too. I would say this. I don't think the fault that he finds in leadership is at the state level. I think he's generally quite supportive of Gavin Newsom and of Governor Newsom's response to this crisis. The fault he's finding, and I think appropriately so, is in Washington. I think obviously things would be different to some degree if Jerry Brown were governor. But I think on the major issues, on pursuing testing, on moving with caution in terms of opening the economy, in terms of relying on science, I think in those major respects, he and Newsom would act quite similarly.
I'm talking with award-winning journalist and UCLA professor Jim Newton. The title of his book is Man of Tomorrow, The Relentless Life of Jerry Brown, a biography. And Jim Newton has published biographies of Dwight Eisenhower and Earl Warren previously. Okay, about the title. I read that the original title was Jerry Brown and the Creation of Modern California.
Yeah, that was a tentative kind of working title. The actual functional title of this book comes from my editor, who suggested it after reading some early drafts of the book. And I love it. I think what it captures that the working title did not is this notion of relentlessness and also the forward-lookingness, as you just alluded to in your question, that Governor Brown embodies. And so I think that this title captures both of those better than the original did. The one thing that the original had, or the working title had, that this one doesn't, but that I hope the book gives a full flavor of, is that it's really an attempt to be both a biography of Brown and a kind of a modern history of the state of California, starting roughly with 1960. The book starts literally on April 12th of 1960, which was the day that Candlestick Park opened. And so from that point forward, it's an attempt to kind of round out that history of California. As you mentioned, I've written previous biographies, one of which was Earl Warren. And my Warren biography covered much of the first half of the 20th century in California, because Warren grew up here. But he left to become Chief Justice in 53. So my story of California kind of ended there as he moved to Washington. And so this book is an attempt in some ways to pick up from there.
Man of Tomorrow is a bit of a modern Superman reference, though. Do you know that?
I did, yes. And at first, I must admit, I sort of flinched at that when we were discussing the title, because I didn't want people to think of him as a Superman. He's not a Superman. He's an admirable person and a fascinating person. He's not Superman. What I take from it is not specifically a reference to Superman so much as a person who lives in the future and thinks about the future, and sometimes has actually suffered from that, I think. In the sense that he's sort of been ahead of his electorate on some things. The old nickname Governor Moonbeam, discredited and appropriately so, but I think in some ways played off on that he seemed kind of off in the future to some people. And so Man of Tomorrow is meant to allude to that, not literally to Superman.
You just set up nicely one of the passages that I had highlighted, and this is later in this last term as governor when there was so much conversation about legacy. And you write, "To Brown's justifiable frustration, talk of his legacy often focused more on projects than on intellectual and cultural change. There, Brown was late to the endeavor and half-hearted about it. A governor who emphasizes limits is not a likely standard bearer for big infrastructure." There's a lot in that paragraph. It also reveals that this book has your thoughtfulness in it and your view of this governor, even though you let him fact check it. You let him see it before it was published.
I did. I thought about that a lot. Here was the thing. I mean, in one hand, I really did not want this to be his book, and it isn't. On the other hand, there were facts about his life that were difficult for me to check with any other source. I'll give you one example. I had written, based on some previous writing about Brown, that when he was in the seminary that he slept on a straw mattress. That had been true of the seminary in Los Gatos that he attended for 3.5 years prior to his arrival. But actually, by the time he got there, they had switched out the straw mattresses and he slept on a cot. Well, he caught that when he read a galley of the book, when it was almost ready for publication. There was really no other way that I could think of to check that fact, and I didn't even know that it needed checking, to tell you the truth. So he caught that, and we fixed it. And that's true of another, maybe dozen or so little facts throughout the book. What I asked him to do in reading it, and which to a remarkable degree he honored, was to not engage with the arguments of the book, to recognize that my conclusions about him had to be my conclusions. And the passage you just read, I think, is a good example. I suspect, or I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised to hear that he doesn't agree with that, or that he may take some issue with that and other conclusions that I reach. But it's important that these be my conclusions about him. Overwhelmingly, I think I'm quite positive on him and his career, but not without exception, and some things that he regrets too. So I wanted his input. I wanted to know that I was correct about describing the facts of his life, but I also wanted him to respect the fact that I needed the liberty to come to my own conclusions and make my own arguments. And I think we understand each other.
The pictures that you chose alone in the center of the book tell a lot of the story. And you do have that black and white of the young Jerry Brown entering the seminary from August 14th, 1956. The final picture is the Brown couple, Anne Gus Brown, with the former governor and Callie, up at their ranch in Colusa County. And the pictures are very telling. It's a broad history lesson in addition to the story about Jerry Brown. But I want to just kind of get to some summary of this. At the very end, you write, "In the very end, Brown's great contribution to his state and nation was not found in any budget or bill or bridge or program. It was not captured by any statistic or metric. Jerry Brown brought his searching, restless intellect to the questions of human existence." And with that, I want to wrap back around to this conversation yesterday. You asked him how life after the virus, when we have a vaccine, will look different. And he said he thought what you were asking him was a larger point. Are we going to learn something from this pandemic about how we want to live or how we must live? He took us back to Taiwan, and here was his answer.
Mostly, I think what I'd like to see the society learn is that when you see a threat, you got to take it seriously. Taiwan responded because they acted on a small amount of information, but they could infer that this pandemic would spread if they didn't take very drastic action. On the part of Italy and many European countries and the United States, we didn't want to act. We wanted more certitude. Well, there are going to be more pandemics. We have things like the danger of war. Can the United States make China an enemy, a more hostile, more hated enemy, year, month after month, without having a war? Can we do that? I have my doubts. I think we're going to have to learn from the pandemic that you must take danger seriously.
So with all of that, the summary in your book, Jim, and what we just heard him say, how relevant does Jerry Brown's voice and his thoughts continue to be?
Oh, I think Jerry Brown is the rare person, maybe the only person that I've met in a long career of covering politics who's been relevant for 50 years. At this moment, even though he and his wife are by themselves with Callie and they're up in Colusa County, more relevant than ever. I think he has got a combination of warning and concern, but also of and skepticism, but also of clear sightedness and foresight and optimism that are exactly what people need to navigate the period that we're in and the period ahead.
Well, congratulations on a really superb book and one that has many, many purposes to be on a bookshelf. Thank you so much for your time today, Jim, and for your work.
Well, you're very kind. I appreciate you having me on your program, and I thank you very much.
Well, take care. Be safe. And Jim Newton is a longtime journalist, a Pulitzer Prize winner for projects at the LA Times. He's a UCLA professor, and his new book is Man of Tomorrow, The Relentless Life of Jerry Brown. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.